L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Hour number two of the program, and Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us here on the show today. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good to see you, boys. Good to be here. Thank you for accommodating the shift in schedule, which Robbie is always cool about and Joe is always an ass about.
Well, you need to explain yourself. I mean, what this convocation, what are we talking about here?
I got to put on a cap and gown.
That's what I was
9 o'clock
for
an hour.
So what is the topic? Someone said, texted earlier, like, we just have, like, life topics. Like, are you teaching something
about life? I don't
know what
convocation really is. I'm not teaching anything. I'm walking with all the other faculty into the Curb Center. Somebody will speak and say big dramatic things about the opening of the school year. I will return to my office, hang it up, and zip over to the Titans. And then at 5 o'clock, my school year will open with my first sports writing class.
Hey,
I'm excited about that.
That's a big day. I don't think you're giving enough deference to this event. You know, you're just kind of blowing it off. I want you to be a little more serious about this.
He's dressing up.
You're putting on a cap and gown.
I haven't been in a cap and gown in quite some time. It's hanging in my office. It looks pretty cool. The Columbia one, I will say, outshines some of the ones I'm seeing hanging around my floor. It's got the light blue. It's got the crowns on the shoulder. It's nice looking.
You're going to sit there doodling on your phone while someone's talking? Why don't you lock in?
I'll lock in.
And be respectful.
I'll lock in.
Oh, now you're going to rip on Belmont degrees because you went to Columbia?
No, I'm locked in. I'm going to help these kids
get this
degree. Speaking of respect, I mean, I've got two things.
Okay. You forgot them both already. Good job, Mr. Magoo.
One of them is delicate.
Great start.
The first one's on me. I diligently was trying to get the shots this summer and everything, and I was due for the second half of the shingles shot. I'm that age, and shingles is apparently like the worst thing
you don't want
one of the worst things you can get. My sister's had.
Yeah, fart that, man.
All right,
fart
so I went for the second half of the shingle shot. I talked to my brother. I'm like, should I, you know, any risk in this that like I'm going to put myself under for the beginning of the school year? Should I wait? And he's like, I had no effect. And I talked to my wife, and she's like, yeah, nothing. And so I go and I get that shot, but they're like, you want the flu shot? I'm like, sure, throw on the flu shot. And so I feel like each of Rex Rhodes' gout-filled feet are standing on one of my sinuses. And I've been on the CPAP, and I'm doing great on the CPAP, and I had the worst, most restless night. I mean, I never look at the clock when I can't sleep. That's like a rule.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was 2 hours. I don't know if it was 5 hours. I did the eye motion thing that's supposed to help you fall asleep. I did the thing where you say, what am I going to think about next? Which kind of puts you in a blind space where you don't know, and you just keep asking yourself that. I ran the beginning
what
of my...
What the hell are you talking about?
I know exactly what he's talking about.
You say, what am I going to think about next? And then you just keep saying, what am I going to think about next? And nothing comes into your head, and you keep, and that's a way to blank your head.
Here comes a thought. Oh, no, it didn't.
Oh, I did it again. I thought...
Oh, I'm sleeping.
I ran through the beginning of my class. I tried to remember some of the kids' names. It was absolutely miserable, and I feel terrible. Like... Hey, flu shot? Yeah. Yes, give me the flu.
I welcome the flu into my body. Thank you very much.
Now, on to delicate matters.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking VD now? What
no, no. But listen, nobody's going to say this. And congratulations to Chase and Joe. They're great
show. Oh, yeah. We need to bring that
up.
Great
show.
Thank you.
And they won an award. But did you guys know this award existed?
We were not nominated.
I did not know that the entire ceremony existed.
I was gonna ask why we weren't a runner up or anything.
Nashville media is filled with this. I found in my 30 years
here. You're gonna rip the award.
I'm going to say that
delicate
there are
matters.
There are more media awards in this town that nobody in the media knows about than anywhere conceivable. I used to wake up and I'd see on Twitter Maurice Patton, Sports Writer of the Year, and I'd be like, in what? Like, I didn't know this organization existed. Congratulations to Maurice Patton. He's had a good career. He does great work covering preps around town. But, like, I'd see it, like, 5 years in a row, and I'm like, how do, like, I'd like someone to look at me. I don't know how you get looked at.
How do you get nominated?
It's like a secret society that awards the things. And I don't know how to get in the secret society. And I'm pretty good at secret stuff. I'm okay. Pretty good.
A couple responses. First of all, I know Mo Patton won NSMA, National Sports Media Association.
How do you get in that? I paid dues for a couple of years, but nobody over there, it's like you send an email, and there's like it sends you back like a blank, a 401 message.
No nomination.
Yeah. I mean, you pay dues and you remember.
Yeah, I paid dues a couple of years, but they were so unresponsive. It was like a flatline thing.
Okay, but also, I didn't know about it. I saw the award. It looked like they were at an awesome award ceremony.
Awesome award.
Awesome. I'm happy for them. I'm also a little bit bitter, like that we weren't nominated or something. I would like you, Paul Kaharsky.
Yeah, the guy with two jobs.
I would like you. Why can't you do the Nashville Radio Awards, PaulKaharsky.com?
Well, because I'm not impartial and you would win.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's maybe the sweetest thing you've ever said. My goodness.
This turns out to be a lovely
nice
segment.
And we know who would lose. It's no secret. Where's the air conditioning today, by the way? What's going on?
Very warm in here.
I can crank it up a notch for you.
Crank it up three notches.
Three? I can only go two.
Take two.
We can't get below a certain temperature in here.
So congratulations to Chase and Dr. Nick Frazier. But I would encourage them, open up the competition and take some people on next year.
I assume there are other nominees, right? Were they the only nominee?
When I tell you that I had no idea this was happening.
What's on the game two right now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a good question.
But I mean, the pictures looked like an awesome awards ceremony.
It did.
It did.
Like, they're like dressed up.
You guys could have gone to support
them. No invite for that either.
Yeah, we weren't even invited.
No invite.
We weren't even invited. I would have showed up half drunk. I mean, I would have finished the other half while there.
Joe, scale him back.
You got to protect yourself from the gout.
That's right.
That's everything I came in with.
Good stuff.
By the way, I met somebody. Was talking to somebody yesterday. That's dealing with potential gout, but in their hands, right here by the thumb.
Any joints possible? Knees, hands, elbows,
shoulders, knees, and
typically
toes.
Typically goes to the feet, but that's tough, man.
The story came up of how when you were dealing with one of your episodes of gout, I looked over to my right at one point, and your foot was just hanging up over here on the table.
Called Joe's gout hotline.
There's Joe's barefoot.
Sorry about that.
Have you thought about that as a second year? job?
You could have gotten HR. You could have gotten HR involved on that one, man.
Joe's gout support hotline.
Yeah.
How may I help you?
You could really run a business.
Yes, I have an appointment open Friday afternoon. God knows I'm not writing anything for The Athletic.
Oh.
No. Wow. Shots fired.
A consultation, if you will.
I've got like a few things coming this week. So,
oh, boy.
So you just watch yourself.
I hope they feature it in a way I can find it.
All right. So we have not spoken with you since preseason game number one. We won't spend a ton of time on that. But obviously the big
– when they give you 10 days.
Yeah, it's a long time. Big takeaway from the first game, obviously, was Cam Ward. His performance did not go very well for him in terms of the accuracy with the football. The intentional grounding play was not very good. What did you make of, what's your biggest takeaway from Cam Ward, and how concerning was that performance in a game setting?
Well, it was really bad. You look at that first play, the two tackles, there's nothing in the middle, and the two tackles have their guys anchored, and he's got Helm wide open cutting across, and he pats the ball, and he looks – I saw somebody's video clip. I wish I could give them credit. He said, it looks like he's going to punt. He starts to move right, and he's holding the ball as if he's going to punt it. He immediately goes when he had a super clean pocket, and Reed – it had to have been Reed number one, wide open. That is an inauspicious start right there. He completed two, good short passes on the first drive, but the running game took care of everything. And Saleh was right on it from the beginning. He's sped up. Why? Why? And then the first practice back, he was overall good, but he started off like looking like, I'm not going to be sped up. Here's a loopy screen that you've got no chance to gain any yards after you catch this bad boy because you might have to fair catch it. And holding the ball. Now he eased into a much better practice. Look, preseason game doesn't mean that much in the big picture, but you want to see steady progress from this guy. And that was not progress at all. That was almost regression from badness. So, you could take the degree of concern that you find appropriate. I'm in the middle. Like, I need to see more this week to tell us that he's on a path. If he does it again, I don't see how you're not somewhat concerned. And he's throwing short, which is what they want. Saleh has said at the scrimmage he threw short, right? And I wrote about that. The important throws were the short ones. Saleh said that's good decision making. That's what we want. They're going to take stuff away until we kill them short, and then they'll give us some chances to be aggressive. Well, we haven't seen any chances to be aggressive yet because the short game is not punishing enough.
So it's interesting because, I mean, I think being in the middle makes sense. I have seen some who cover the team who have, I guess, framed a little bit more like it's being overreacted to. And again, this is like nationally, right? Because
yeah, nationally,
that's all,
if you haven't seen him practice.
Yeah. Like if this is your only, you know, like, you know, I forget the podcast, but you know, there were people talking about Cam, you know, like you're worried about him, stuff like that. And that's the only glimpse of it. It's a bad glimpse. There's no question it's a bad glimpse. How do you weigh that bad glimpse? Because that's the only game conditions, the only time he could have actually been tackled, right? Like there is something about it that's like that means a little more because there's at least the danger of being hit against quite a few good practices, probably more good practices than bad, right?
Yeah, at least even. Probably, I'd say at least even. But, you know, people don't want to hear you got to wait and see. They want a final judgment right now. They just can't have it. For me, some people more anxious for clicks than me are going to offer it and make declarations. But I do. What Blake wrote, and you guys talked about it earlier, I mean, I'm not going all the way there that he's got to be Brock Purdy. But I think he needs to be more that kind of quarterback. I mean, Saleh's saying he's got to take the short stuff and wait for the chances. Right. So he's got to be, you know, game manager is such a negative term. He's got to manage the game well and wait for his opportunities to make the big play. Does that make him a terrible quarterback? I mean, he's not going to be the ideal number one kind of guy like Marino or Mahomes, talking where you're picked or as a number one quarterback, like top five guy in the league. But can you win with a guy like Purdy who maybe takes more shots and has more magic in him? Yes, I'm not ready to dismiss that at all. And by the way, I mean, San Francisco's offense is way different, but I've watched Brock Purdy a couple times, and that guy's damn good.
Yeah, he's
doing what they do. He does what they ask him to do, and they are a terrific offense. There is no shame in somebody saying, hey, you should be a little I would say you should be more like Brock Purdy. Blake went all out and said he should be Brock Purdy. That, by the way, is the biggest talker of the week. You should go read it at paulkuharski.com.
If you are a Titans fan, or if you're Cam Ward, and someone said, sign this, and you will be – exactly as good, basically the same as Brock Purdy, sign it right now.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, listen, but there are people who would say, oh, no. Well, number one pick. No.
The number one pick can't be like the last pick. Yeah, he can. It's okay. Like the valuations of the draft and how guys are valued coming out, it's an inexact science. It's an inexact art. And there was no quarterback in that draft. People say, well, you should have traded and waited. I mean, there's another school of thought that I lean more towards. You got to take your crack when your time comes. And that's what they did. You know, I heard
They could have traded and they could have had Jackson Dart, and those two are going to be compared. Right. That's probably what it would have been.
And I'm not sold on Jackson Dart.
No, I'm not sold on him either.
And he might be Tua with the head stuff. We'll see. I mean, I know this weekend wasn't a big deal, but he had a bad first year with that.
Well, and he's back in the injury tent this weekend.
It was short and not that meaningful. But I'll say this. You've got to take your swings. Their years to take swings have been very unfortunate. The locker year, you know, young, they had a good swing at a guy that didn't pan out. They've been quarterback unlucky plus not developed guys. Well, it's a really hard thing to do, and they're hardly the only team in the league trying to do it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski with us on the show. We'll welcome your questions for PK. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program.
Sad death in the ZZ Top family.
Yeah.
Just now?
Well, yesterday.
I think it was last night.
Last night.
Who?
The drummer.
Oh, shoot. Frank, I'm sorry.
Frank,
I didn't know.
Is it Frank Beard?
Beard? What's the last
Frank
name?
Yep.
Yeah, they said, hey, how ironic is that? The one guy without the beard. Yeah. And ZZ Top, his last name is Beard.
Yeah. I told a story about seeing them at the Ryman.
Yeah.
That's the pull of the Ryman. Like, I'll go see somebody that's marginal to me, knowing it's going to be great. And it was great.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'd love to see ZZ Top with the Ryman.
Back on the Brock Purdy stuff, you know what the thing that stands out to me about Brock Purdy that I would sign up right now for Cam Ward getting to? He's basically a career 68% completion percentage. He threw 70% last year. Like, he's very accurate with football.
What's his yards per attempt?
His yards per attempt for his career is
8.6. That is way higher than I would expect.
8.6.
Way higher than I expected. Now, a lot of that's yards after the catch, but it doesn't matter how you get them. I mean, that makes me want to sign up for Brock Purdy even more. I was sure it was going to be 7-something.
8.6, yeah, and he was 7.5 last year, or 7.6 last year.
Injury
but 8.6
plagued
for his career.
Season last year, dragging him down.
This makes me want to go back to the quote on him.
You don't have to read the whole tweet.
No, but there's a great quote about Brock Purdy, because I do think that he is one of those. Like, I think people, they're like, Brock Purdy compare. Like, even when Blake writes that, there are people who are like, you know what I mean? But it's like, guys, obviously he can't – let's see, where did he come in on this thing? He came in, and this is, you know, front office people. He came in 11th, first of all.
On the quarterback tiers.
On the quarterback tiers that Sando did, which I think is higher than some people would think. But I think
that sounds about right to me.
So here's a quote. Quote, stronger than you think, faster than you think, better than you think. Talks more bleep than you think. End quote.
Well, that fits right with Cam.
It does. It does.
Yeah. I also wrote, you know, Fred Warner – friend of mine got me some Fred Warner stuff out there that didn't get any play anywhere else. And he talked about Cam talking like he talks. And he said, you know, it's unusual for a quarterback, and I didn't mind it, but he's going to have to decide if that works for him or not. And they're going to have to decide if that works for them or not. Now, I don't see him coming out of that, but Warner said, that may amp him up, but it amps me up.
Yeah.
And do you want me more amped up? Pretty much.
Good question. Especially a guy like that.
I think that's a pretty good question. Like, does Cam Ward amped versus Fred Warner amped? Do you want that equation? I don't.
No.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Maybe if Cam Ward gets really good, then yes.
Yeah, those one-handed, right now, those one-handed push-ups actually hit.
Yeah, know? They do.
Yeah, right now, the other team's best defender, I generally want to suppress.
Yeah. Hey, LT, suck it, man. Come get me. Joe Theismann.
I thought that was.
Hey, whatever, LT. I'm just standing here for you.
I thought that was thoughtful by Warner.
Yeah, that's good. That's good
I mean, so I do think the preseason game this weekend is pretty important from the standpoint of what you just talked about, Joe. Like, it's great that he's having some good practices. We'll get into the secondary here in a minute and how much maybe that has something to do with it. But it's great that he's having good practices. It's not unimportant that he's having good practices. But if you can't translate it over to a game, I just don't really care. I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. So, like, to me, if he goes out there and he's not sharp this weekend in the game, there will be some concern for me. Like, I'm largely with you. It's a preseason game. I thought people were going a little bit off the rails Friday with their reaction to it because of how bad it was, and I understand it. But if it happens again in a game where he is just wildly inaccurate with the football and you just don't know what you're going to get there, I mean, you start to look at it and you say, you know, practice is great. It doesn't really mean a whole lot if you can't transfer it over to a game setting.
Here's another thing about what he did. Like, he knows – he's got to know you can't throw a million-mile fastball to Wandale Robinson at 7 yards. You've got to accommodate the receiver some. Now, Io Manor talked last year early about the ball's on you fast. Well, the ball being on you fast is when you turn, you better be ready. It's not the ball's 100 miles an hour fast at 5 yards. That's not servicing the wide receiver. And I thought, is he too amped up there? What's he doing?
Well, do you agree with Salah? I mean, it's Salah's interpretation seemed reasonable to me. Yeah, like, just he it's like a rookie who, oh my god, it's so fast right now out here, right?
But why is that
or,
the case?
Or I don't know,
it's not like he hasn't played before.
Well, or is it more these dudes can't block. I'm screwed. Like, is that, you know, now I can get hit tonight.
I thought the blocking was
pretty good.
Well,
it was, but in his mind, is it?
Right. Well, that's what I asked Salah. I said, is there potential that this is some carryover PTSD from last year?
Which happens to quarterbacks.
I wouldn't dismiss it.
I mean, that's one of the common, I'd say, the seeing.
Undoes a lot of guys.
I think Marcus.
Undoes a lot of guys.
I think some of the Marcus story was that.
I think so, too. You get past a certain point, you can't get back. Let's hope he's sure as hell not there. Let's hope he's not there.
Still carving out a career for himself, though.
He is. Yeah. Would you take Marcus a second year right now, Titans fans?
Yeah, I think you would.
For Cam? You'd be like, oh, my God, he's going to be the greatest quarterback in Titans history.
Exactly. There is that.
I mean, they overhyped Marcus, too, but I have to go look at that second year. I tend to remember Marcus.
About 3,400, 26 TDs and 9, I think. Pretty good YPA.
Yeah, 26. I mean, any Titans quarterback is a very solid.
What was his yards per attempt since you're looking at it?
Yards per
attempt.
So glad
we can talk about Marcus.
Oh, yeah, you love Marcus. Yards per attempt, 7.6, which was the same as his rookie year, which was the same as his fourth year. You know.
But you'll take that. I mean, you know, if you're high sevens, it's fine.
You'll take it.
It's no Tannehill.
Well, you brought up the line. So Carmona obviously making a charge here at the right guard spot.
Carmona's talking today. I already talked to him. Good story up. Moot that he's talking today.
There you go. PaulKuharski.com. Check that out. So one of the things we tossed around yesterday because, I mean, frankly, I watched Volson in the game the other night, and it's like, oh, boy. Yeah. That's not very good.
So how much of this is Carmona taking the bull by the horns, and how much of it is Volson in particular and Slater not cutting it? And I think there's some of both. But Blake liked what he saw from Carmona, thought it was a good start, both pass and run, and there's promise there. I am buying Latham. I am into Latham right now, and Latham can help Carmona there by being good. We saw run right. In one preseason game, you know, and Spears bounced off an inside run and went to the right. But, you know, I had argued root for Slater because he's a better long-term solution. Well, even better than Slater as a long-term solution is Carmona, who's got an additional year.
Well, you say you're buying Latham. I mean, he looked good in the game. All accounts are he's looked pretty good in practice. I thought his press conference the other day was very intriguing. You can't have a revolution without bloodshed. So that was intriguing. So, like, it appears to me from the outside looking in, maybe a little bit of a mentality shift with him.
Definitely.
How much do you buy that?
I buy it because the guy. Now, maybe I'll look like a fool, and maybe when things get hard, it'll come apart. But and I think we talked about this after his first press conference. He was talking about emotional intelligence. He was talking about a mental coach. He was talking about things that he read, things that he did, which were well beyond what I thought a guy could do to work on mentality being so far removed from actual games where your mentality's tested. So I'm impressed by that one. Then when he spoke the other day, it was somewhat cryptic and it didn't make for a great quote once you reread it. But he basically said, this is my interpretation. He basically said, somebody asked him about that he and Jeff had had a long 2-hour conversation. And he basically said the way I interpreted it, we sat down and we hashed things out. We go about things differently, but we understand that now and we can coexist and we know we have to have each other's back with it, which is a super healthy locker room element. Because last year there was clearly stuff going on between them. There was clearly stuff going on between a lot of guys in that locker room and Latham and Sweat when the veterans, not great veteran leaders, certainly Arden Key, not a great veteran leader. Who was the other one? I want to say Jones, who was a good veteran leader, but he was traded pretty early. It might have been him. It might have been somebody else. Ian might remember, he looks like.
No, nothing comes to mind. Sorry.
I think it was Jones.
Ernest Jones, yes.
Ernest. No, Draymond. It wasn't Ernest.
Oh, Draymond Jones. Okay.
Draymond Jones. But they were saying that they're young Jonathan. Guys, young, important guys. Not Jonathan. He's in witness protection. Jerry. There are young, important guys on this team who are not following the veterans who are trying to take us somewhere. And it was clear they were talking about Sweat and Latham.
Yep.
And Sweat's gone, and Latham seems to be reformed.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more to get to with PK. We welcome more of your questions on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Titans in action later this week in a joint practice against Seattle. Got the preseason game coming up on Sunday. National TV audience coming up on Sunday, too. So treat yourself to some Titans and Seahawks football coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. How are these? I mean, these things get pretty good numbers, right? Like
I'm sure they do.
Year. Yeah. It's amazing to me because it's just hard. It's hard for me to watch. Like if I were to have turned on the Rams game and Ty Simpson was playing, okay, like I'll watch that. Like if there's a young player who's actually getting some run or something like that. But
beyond the first quarter,
for the most part, it's hard, man. Yeah.
I'm a Packers guy. I about the third quarter the other night when they were playing Pittsburgh, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
We'll see you. Just,
yeah, like, you know, figure out the back of the roster.
Yeah.
The other thing that's tough to me about the joint practices, and I wrote about that Saleh has done away with a lot of drills. You know, old school 9-on-7, a lot less 7-on-7. One-on-ones are only O-line versus D-line, and we didn't see those in Santa Clara. He wants more stuff that looks like real football, and I like that. I think it's a good idea. I wrote about it. But that meant, like, in Santa Clara, you know, even the AP photographer had nothing that showed players working against each other.
Yeah.
They were, like, tight individual shots of the Titans in the individual period.
Which could have been any day.
San Francisco on individual period, which could have been absolutely any day. I asked the PR director, like, hey, is there any way we can just get some pictures that show physical evidence that the Titans and the Seahawks are working together on Friday? So hopefully at least some mingling stuff afterwards. I need guys desperately to mingle.
Is that like an edict from the substation? You shall not take pictures of both together. Teams in the same frame.
Exactly.
Boy, that substation gets a lot of hype.
It sure does.
Did you get close to it?
Yeah, we were right. We were against the fence that separates the field from the substation.
Yeah, he's right there next to it.
Take a picture of it?
I did send out, from the other side, I sent out a picture of the practice field with the substation behind it because I know people are so unnecessarily fascinated.
Did you taunt it? Okay, good. That's why you're here with us today.
So how concerned are we at this point about the secondary? I mean, it was not a great game in particular from Flott. You know, the joint practice session apparently did not go well for the secondary either. Maybe it's a San Francisco thing. I don't know. Maybe they play a lot better this week. But I think there's some cause for concern on the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I think the one thing that's not being sold enough is that the pass rush that's supposed to be glorious with four rushing didn't do anything. And that's supposed to help out the secondary. I mean,
but the whole key to that pass rush wasn't out there, right? I mean, the interior.
Well, Simmons was out there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't seem particularly interested in being out there. It was part of it.
I would not put him out there anymore. Anyway.
Flott was, you know, right there with Stribling on several of those plays. So if you want to find some good in it, you know, he was in range of making plays. He wasn't beat by 10 yards. Here's my thing. Like, it came out of that, and people were like, yeah, the secondary's been bad the whole time. I don't think the secondary's been bad the whole time. Like, were we talking out of practices that the secondary is getting torched by Cam? I think the secondary has been okay.
Well, I guess
through practice, it was a terrible performance.
Though, like, if you have a big day, isn't that at the expense of your secondary? I mean, he's had really good days. Tate's had great days.
But the defense has had some really good days too, and the secondary is part of that. So I didn't go into this practice last week thinking, oh, the secondary's on high alert here, especially with them not playing starters of San Francisco. I was surprised. I didn't watch, Stribling was energy-packed right out of the gate. He outplayed Tate. And then in a game to have seven catches before you sit down when you're playing with the ones is certainly disconcerting. Flott was especially bad. Seemed like he was... While he was close, he was lost while he was close, and that's concerning. But I don't think it picked up on some huge problem that had existed from practice. And so let's see what he does Friday and Sunday.
Yep.
But, yeah, so again, it's like with the Cam conversation, right? It's like, so when it's a little bit higher stakes, the lights are on, okay, everybody's watching, you're on TV, you're in full pads, you're tackling,
well,
you're
stunk.
And he was accountable. He said he stunk. You know, he wasn't making excuses, so you got to appreciate that at least. And that means he's going to come out knowing he stunk and has to do better. How does he react to that?
Well, we're moving into, like, how much does practice against yourself actually mean, right? Like, at some point, the secondary, the pass rush, the quarterback, all of it, it's got to translate to playing your opponents, because ultimately that's what matters.
And often secondary guys here aren't covering good receivers. They're covering better receivers now, certainly in Tate. You know, Ridley, I think, looks reasonably good. Wandale, very shifty. Those guys aren't on him very much because he's inside. Isle Manners had a very strong camp. So, you know, they're covering better quality guys than a lot of corners have here before.
I do want to go. So I want to go back when what you said the last segment on Latham. I mean, first of all, like, I agree with all you said about what he's. I think the interpretation's right. But I've always, like, I've always been impressed with Latham when he talks. You know, when he, I think he's always been introspective. He's a smart guy and all that stuff. That to me though, I just got to see it, right?
Yeah.
Now I think we did, but would you say
late last season he? I think maybe was
got a little better.
Out.
Oh, it's checking out.
Yeah, I mean, he had that one game late with three penalties.
You can't do that.
And he was a mess.
Like the stakes are way too high to ever do that. So that's there's still some skepticism for me.
Oh, and there should be.
But
I mean, he's got to prove it.
Well, you just said you're all in.
I believe he's going to be better.
How much better?
I believe he could be the guy that he should be.
Like like at the end of this year, we'll say. Yeah. Okay.
He was right.
The number seven. No, not that. That's different. You're saying.
Like, I think it could look like
the
a
number
top
seven
10
pick. Oh wow.
I think it could look like a top 10 pick.
Well, it would be outstanding this year.
Pretty good.
To have no reservations heading into next year about the second contract.
Yeah, and like, that's a big thing for this team across the board. That's what we want with Cam. That's what we want with a lot of these guys.
But at that
no
position,
reservation about X at this position.
Yeah.
Cross it off. You're needless.
I do think the bar is a little lower. Like, I think he can be mid, and that they still would think that way because they have to.
Well,
they
if he's
know
Moore.
That
he's got to be better than Moore, who's mid.
But even if he's like about Moore, it's like, well, we can't do it. We can't try to draft two tackles, right?
No,
let's sign him, and then let's go get the left tackle.
Yeah, he's fortunate.
You hope it's more
he's
like, oh hell yes, we want to sign him.
But to me, even
he's
that's different than
in that way.
Yeah, second contract. Let's get that.
He's
out.
Fortunate in that way that Moore is so mid.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
The first bar is be better than Moore. That one, I think, is very, very, very achievable.
Mandor's catching some strays.
Poor
over
Mandor.
Here. Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's cracked open again.
It's cracked open. Although, again, first team offensive line did well the other night.
Well, I do think that obviously you hope some of the bad stuff doesn't carry over, so you can't sit there and assume the good stuff will. But I think this team should be able to run the football pretty well, right?
Yeah, like they also need to not get nicked up, right? You need to play once you figure out who that offensive line is, and it looks like we know it. I mean, that's pretty big, Salah saying he's taking the lead and he gets first dibs on Friday and Sunday. If that's the five, you need that to be the five. I mean, OT depth is a big problem. Brandon Crenshaw Dixon's got to be the guy. They like what he's done with his body. They don't know if he's ready.
Yeah,
who the interior
Austin
extra guy, you know, is Andre James the interior guy or Slater the first interior guy? He's been snapping more. Not always great. You know, a lot to sort out there still.
More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Your questions for PK. Welcome on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ed asking, Bedingfield also mentioning Carnell Tate not getting separation from press man coverage. Do you see a lot of that in practice? Is that a concern with Tate at this point?
I don't have any concerns about Tate at this point. I think he's on a good learning growth curve. First game out there, you like to get him a catch. They didn't. No big deal.
So with Seattle right now, because I just have not been paying attention because, you know, I just
you're very, very busy, man.
I generally don't pay attention to the NFL. I mean, the top headline, I think, what was the top headline the other day was like, oh, it was like Jamal Adams season-ending injury, or like the top headline. I'm like, dude, this guy has not been a player who matters to an NFL team in like several years.
If we had a pool before and you picked me a guy most likely to have a season-ending injury, if I knew Jamal Adams was in the league, I would have picked him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, he's still in the league. Huge news. He's at, I mean, again, I feel bad for him, but like, he's not. Anyway, so my point is, Seattle, we're going to get a full, like, we get the full slate here, the full deck of cards.
How are
they looking?
I don't know yet. I can't imagine that the Super Bowl champs are particularly worried about getting their frontline guys a lot of time.
But the joint practice should
be. Yeah. Will be better than
Friday
the game.
Friday will be popping.
I would expect. The Titans have a chance to, you know, affect national perception a little bit Sunday on national TV. Now, I don't know that they care about that, but it would be convenient.
It would definitely be convenient. It'd be a nice change of pace around here. That'd be good to see on that front. What did you see from Femi? You know, he played a decent amount in that first game, made a couple of TFLs. I guess overall, has anything in particular stood out to you with him in camp so far? And what do you think when game one comes around, that's going to look like for him in terms of how involved he is out there?
You know, he had some good snaps. I think people made probably too big of a deal about it. And so, you know, I wouldn't get carried away. It's a good progress for him. And, you know, you'd like to see him grow from that. I still think, you know, I'm expecting him to be more of a run guy than a pass rush guy. He's not going to be a starter, I wouldn't think, with the guys they have ahead of him. Though Jacob Martin is out right now with a knee, and we don't know how serious that is. So that could change the shape of things. We're starting to get into the stage where some of those injuries are, you know, becoming more hazy, and we don't know as much.
Yeah, Jacob Martin hurt. Jalen Harrell. Jalen Harrell was a guy who, like, at least, like, decent, like a depth guy, though, right?
He's a borderline roster guy to me. That helps. Somebody like Femi helps, you know, helps some of the
Falk
other back end guys.
Gets more snaps, right?
Yeah, I don't know that Harrell was necessarily going to make the roster or get snaps. He's going to continue to develop. I think he would have been on the practice squad at least. But if you're picking two guys to lose, you know, Harrell and Kanick aren't, you know, I don't want to be insensitive, but they're not terrible guys to go.
You're glad they're hurt.
Nice. Yeah.
Headline.
As I said.
We'll tweet that out. Tweet that out, Ian. So I forgot my question after that. The linebackers right now. I don't hear a lot of talk about the linebackers. I still have my questions at times about Cody Barton, you know? Like, I mean, he's a veteran. He can make, but sometimes, you know, sometimes I just, I'm not sure about him. What about the rookie? What are you seeing from him? How's he coming on?
Anthony Hill.
Yes. Anthony Hill. Thank you.
Yeah, Junior. I haven't seen a lot from Anthony Hill. You know, and there's still time, but I suspect that he, you know, may take a while. Now, whether that's weeks into the season or more a Cedric Gray timetable. Now, Cedric Gray was hurt during his rookie year. I think they may roll through those linebackers a little bit. I think that there is a scenario where Cedric Gray even is off the field in some passing situations. Very good, obviously, against the run. But in space, you know, look, and Nick Suss talks about this all the time. Finding linebackers who can play in space is a real mission in the NFL. And what you want to do is condense the space, only have them covering, you know, 7 yards worth of space before DBs arrive. And who are the best Titans at that? I mean, James Williams is looking pretty good.
He's fast.
Right now. Pretty fast. And he came up as a safety, so he's got some of those things. He's lost all that weight, about 20 pounds. Down to 230.
So he looks like a safety again.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I'd like to see him on the field in passing downs. Barton's still going to be iffy on that, you know. But if you're picking two linebackers to have on the field in passing downs, I'm not sure who they are right now. And I thought I would be sure.
Well, I look at this defense, and I think probably maybe the best area that they ought to be improved in this year is against the run. Like, they're just from a stylistic standpoint and some of the body types they've got in there, like, I think they ought to be pretty good against the run this year. I was reading Drew Beatty's write-up at paulkuharski.com
Sounds like he was pretty impressed with Falk and what he showed in the first preseason game, both from a run standpoint, but also from a pass rushing standpoint. But like the run defense ought to be a strength this year. And look, that's not, you know, it's not the top of the list of why the Titans have been as bad as they've been over the last few years. And I think they're a little bit better last year. They gave up 114.6 a game, which was, you know, right around middle. But a couple years ago, they were atrocious against the run, and that's something that I think this defense should be a lot better.
Yeah, to do what they want to do also with the pass rush, and yep. We've talked so much that we're almost giving it to them for granted that they're going to be a better pass rush team. But to be that better pass rush team, they need to stop the run. And they need to stop the run a lot with – and this is where it gets a little bit complicated, because I don't think you're putting – quote unquote second wave guys out there for the opening snaps of a game. But once a series gets going, you want Simmons and Jermaine Johnson and JFM to be on the field a lot more for third down than they are for first and second down. You want Solomon Thomas and Femi and guys like that to be handling the rundowns, which they're very capable of. Those other guys are very capable of it too. But they're insistent on this wave and you not playing more than four snaps in a row, three or four snaps in a row. You got to cycle those reps. And Saleh talked about this early in a way where it times up that your best pass rushers are on the field for the most obvious passing downs.
Headlock.
And you can miss that sometimes based on conversions that are not necessarily, I mean, they're in your control, but they're not in your control.
We got another headline. Paul Kaharski says Jeff Simmons should come off the bench for the Tennessee Titans. I like it. No, I mean,
productive show so far.
Yeah, yeah.
We have had some good stuff.
No, I
got to put this out in podcast.
I hear what you're saying, but I do, like, do you think that, I mean, I just feel like you want those two guys out there to make sure you're in third and nine, too, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. It gets complex.
Yeah,
you know, how do they map it? How do they map it? And then how do you stick to your map? It's kind of like first 15 script on offense, right? You really want to do certain things, but as soon as you take a sack and it's third and 17, what do you put the script away and you do other stuff.
Yeah. YouTube chat, we're going through different awards, and someone, because of your affinity for weed, what about the Tennessee Hemp Growing Society Sports Show of the Year?
And as Jude has pointed out in the YouTube chat, PK
Robbie
can put
Rexroth
on his cap and gown to present the award to us.
Here
you go, guys.
Congratulations.
You guys have finally graduated into an award-winning show.
Cheech and Chong's.
I could get the Curb Center at a reasonable price.
Presented by White Castle.
I could get the Curb Center at a reasonable price, but there are a lot of smaller facilities at Belmont that might suit us far, far better. Don't you think?
I could get a
classroom.
Welcome into Karski's classroom, where this award ceremony will take place.
Two small classes of like 10. I think I could get one of those rooms pretty easily.
Can we do a live remote during your class?
During my class?
Do you have any morning classes?
That actually would be fun, except the sports writing class is 5 to 6:15. So you want to boot some people off? Those guys like an hour off early? Well, do they go till 6?
Yeah, we might have to do some negotiating.
Step aside, DVD.
We got a little afternoon show we got to take care of.
I think that would be great, and that would be a trade-off. They had Blake on recently.
Yeah.
So, and they have Herndon. I think they've had Beatty. So, I go on there once in a while and say, hey, in exchange for all our guest appearances, we'll take
remote
an hour
broadcast
of your time.
That's right.
But Joe will be like, no, I got to make a call to the coach at South Idaho State. I'm working on a big piece that nobody's going to see.
How did you know about that? 615-737-1025. Lots more to get to with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.